Hello and welcome to the Ebony POV, a podcast that talks about everything in the Big Brother universe from an ebony point of view. I'm your host, Michael B., and I'll be here to discuss everything Big Brother, from the fights to the competitions to the house guests and to the strategies, and give a perspective from an African American's point of view. Thank you for joining us, and we can't wait to get started with and talk about everything Big Brother. All right, so yesterday we got to experience the first episode of Big Brother All Stars 2. We've been waiting for this for years. It's always been a rumor, and sometimes they said they were doing it. Sometimes they were tricking us, saying they were possibly bringing some people back. Of course, we've had many seasons since Big Brother 7 where they brought some people back, but we never had a full season of returning players. So I am personally so happy that we finally got All Stars 2 to happen, even if it took a pandemic to get it. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about the premiere episode that happened last night. It definitely was a 2-hour episode, but also we'll talk a little bit about the live feeds that happened up until this point. So I'll let you know with the spoiler what was happening on the live feeds on today, but after we talk about the episode yesterday. But overall, it was a live episode, and it had its ups and had its downs. But to be honest, we didn't probably care what the competition was going to be, or exactly how the people came in. It was great to have a live move in, but all we really wanted to know, because they kept it so secret for us, was the actual cast. So let's get into that real quick. So to be perfectly honest, in this episode recap, not a lot happened. The main thing, of course, was the fact that we got to see the house guests move in 4 at a time, each go to a first part of an HOH competition, and then after a quick meet and greet of everybody, they went to the final part of the HOH competition and let them settle in. So in the order that they came in, they had the first 4, which were women, which was Nicole Frenzel from Big Brother 16 and 18, Davon, of course, from Big Brother 17 and 18, Danny Donato, that was in Big Brother 8, as well as Big Brother 13, and then Christmas, who was in Big Brother 19. That's with the first 4 women, and when they came in, had masks, of course, and then went into the house, tried to find a object in the house that was displayed on the screen. Once they found that, they went to a table maze and tried to put the ball in the slot in order to be one of the first 2 to qualify for the next stage of the first HOH competition. As you know, it was Christmas, of all people, that qualified for this second round, and the other 3 failed. And it went on to repeat like that for the next 3 sections. It was, the next 4 were actually all guys. It was Ian, the winner of Big Brother 14, Kevin from Big Brother 11, Tyler from Big Brother 20, and Enzo from Big Brother 12. It was Ian and Kevin that actually went on to that next round from that 4. And then we had the next 4, which were all girls. Bailey from Big Brother 20, of course. Nicole Anthony from the last season, Big Brother 21. We also had Janelle, Queen Janelle, from Big Brother 6 and 7, the first All-Stars. And, of course, Big Brother 14. And then Keisha from Big Brother 10. Of that group, it was Nicole Anthony that qualified to go. And then the last 4, which were all guys, which was Cody from Big Brother 16. And then we had Memphis from Big Brother 10. And then we also had Kazar from Big Brother 6 and Big Brother 7. And then, of course, rounding out the cast was David from Big Brother 21. And of that group, it was Cody and Memphis that that went on to the second round. Then after that, really quickly, of course, we had the first meet and greet. It was interesting that the first women who went in the house went to a special room, and all three of them seemingly went to three separate spots. And it was interesting that it was the last group that actually were the first to actually sit down in the main room on the couch, just like everybody does on previous seasons. And they brought the previous groups one by one until all 16 people were there. And that's then after that, of course, we had the final competition, which was basically a obstacle course slash race. And whoever had the fastest time of the six who qualified would be the first HOH. Cody, being Cody, of course, qualified quick with a quick time, and nobody could beat him. And Cody is our first HOH. And then there were a mishap of the actual have-not room. We were able to see who the first four have-nots were, which was Ian, Nicole, Anthony, Kevin, and Memphis. And they tried to get into the HOH room, the have-not room, and they couldn't get in. One of the few live mishaps that we had that's had that episode. So after they did that, they just went ahead and did a little meet and greet. And you know how they end the episode. You know, Julie goes, let's drop in on the house guests. So they had a little bit of a little talk. But again, basically all we did was in this episode was meet the house guests and actually see a live HOH competition. All right, so we just finished the episode recap. Now, since it is the Ebony point of view, let's talk about quickly what we did like and what we didn't like about the episode. So let's start off with what we did like. One, I love the fact that we actually had a live competition. As most people know, I am a big fan of the season of Big Brother Over the Top, or BBOTT, where we actually had live ceremonies, both dominations and POV. We actually had live competitions, and I mean all the way live, where it took literally like half a day, but we actually got to see all of it. And then we have had live DR, so actually to see a live competition, it was great. I loved it. I like the fact that they kind of blended the introductions with the competitions. I like the fact that they try to taper off everybody meeting at once, but kind of having people meet in waves, especially when you see that some people would be meeting for the very first time, and some people who have actually probably played together even more than once, but still meeting together. Some with who were still good with each other after all these years, and some who may not have been. But I like the fact that the group was cordial so first. I like the fact that they allowed the house guests to shoot their own intros, and you kind of see a little bit more of their personality, because instead of the filtered big personality that Big Brother would give them, you actually got to see what their real personality was. Now granted, we these are all returning players, so we've already seen probably a lot their personality already, but I like the fact that they took the idea into their own hand. Like, this is what the intro that I would like if I had control the first time. So I do like that. Now let's get into what we did like about the episode. Okay, now we understand that this is a live episode, but there were a lot of mishaps, especially for the 2 hours, that shouldn't have happened. Even though I love the competition, I do feel it kind of wasn't blocked very well. You see that we got a chance with the first four of Nicole, Davon, Danny, and Christmas. We got to talk to each of them, at least for one question. And then you saw how they must have been pushing for time, so instead, they picked and choose who they talked to for the next three sections, and we really didn't get much from them. As a fact, because these hours were all about the competitions, we were kind of robbed, in my opinion, of actually seeing people meet for the first time. We really didn't get to see Janelle and Kazar. Just realize, look, we together again. We didn't get to see that. We did get to see some reactions, though. They didn't one of the things I really didn't like is that probably the person with the best reaction was probably Davon, seeing people that she watched with her grandmother before she went on Big Brother 17, especially the way that she reacted to Kevin, of course she reacted to Bailey, and reacted to a few other people, and of course Janelle. But I don't like the fact that they give us enough time. And of course, about the competition. The competition of itself, I understand that they were trying to do things quickly and orderly as possible. And I think overall it flowed well for a live competition. But one, the way that they did it, you know, it kind of ate up time a little bit. Two, the most obvious thing is that it seemed that the answers for the female groups were a lot harder for the table maze than it was for the male groups. Which is why, interesting enough, we only had two females in the second part of the competition against four guys. And, you know, people have been complaining on Twitter that that was all sexist and stuff like that. But, again, and this may be production, like we want to make sure that we weed out quickly, because what we don't want to have is 16 people do this competition and 8 people qualify. I think that's not didn't what they wanted. Obviously, the first two means that there's a maximum of 8. I think they probably only really wanted 4. The fact that they got 6, they're probably kind of mad about. But they wanted something that would make sure that it would keep quickly. But that and the fact that obviously Julie gave us and try to interrupt when people were meeting, and that's probably the part that we wanted to see the most. We wanted to see the reactions of people meeting and talking for the first time, because besides BBOTT, we never had a live move-in. So that's what I liked, and that's what I didn't like about the episode. Now we're in the section of the podcast where we talk about the key players and the dropouts for each episode. What we'll be doing throughout the season, both with the live feed summaries as well as these episodes, we'll talk about one or two key players that I feel like really showed out and did what they had to do in the game, whether it be by strategy, whether it be by socializing, or maybe some other way of advancement that made them the star players of this particular episode or live feed's day. But then we also have to talk about the people that didn't, that were either wildfires, didn't do anything to help their game, or worse, did something to actually damage their game. And even if it's funny and humorous, we'll have to point those out too. So let's get into it. So the two star players, at least for this episode, were kind of hard to pick, because like I said, we really didn't get much. As soon as we actually saw the players that we were excited about, they were thrown headfirst in the competition. So we didn't really get to see as much of social interaction, as the social stuff, and how it usually happens when these people interact, which we'll probably see more of in the Sunday episode that's coming in a couple of days. But I guess one of the star players will have to be Cody. He really didn't give much as much personality in his intro package, except for that not again part at the end. But we did get to see his actual thoughts in the live dining room after he won, and I think his thinking for his game works, considering the fact that if he were to nominate at that point, he probably would have nominated probably Kesar and possibly Ian, maybe Janelle. Because even though he is quote unquote of the new school, I believe he's watching this episode to know that how dangerous Kesar and Janelle would be, and you see them both together. I think if they weren't both in the house, if it was one or the other, he may have not gave them much of mind, but I think Kesar and Janelle, because of his live dive room segment, are going to be on the chopping block. Also, I'm going to give a star player to Davon. Davon has changed so much from her two seasons before she went on the challenge. Now it seems she's even more of a star. And to be honest, even though I'm so happy that Davon is on this season, she really didn't need it. She received her redemption long from BB 17 long ago, in my opinion. She was able to actually last in BB 18, and then more importantly, show herself that she actually has the chops to be a comp beast on the challenge. I think of all the people that were nominated to be on this season, I think she's the one that needed it the least. That being said, the way she instantly went into social mode, being so excited to see players that she were probably really were her idols. But I believe she played that up a little bit just because she was already planning the social game. I loved it. I think, to be honest, there wasn't much to go on. And when you think about it, you want to see strategy and social game. Cody, kind of being the guy's guy, probably instinctively knew that he needed to win the head of household. So I'll give him a star player for that. But the other one will have to be Devon, because she probably played the most socially, just even in that little time. And then, of course, the people that kind of fell off. So I think the two players that fell off on their game from the get-go, like I said, they didn't have much time, was Ian. Ian said on purpose that he was going to act very, you know, inwardly and be just as awkward in the beginning as he was when he won his first season. However, he's a winner. Not only did he win, he won against Dan. People are kind of onto this, especially with someone like Janelle, who actually played with him in season 14. However, you have to give it up to him. He's going to be, I think this is the way for him to not only play within his wheelhouse, because he's still not an overly interactive person, but actually see where those lines are drawn and then like start a new quack pack in the midst of that. But that being said, like he was the most awkward, didn't really interact with anybody as well. I guess the other dropout, I have to give people who are probably least entertaining, and I really hate to say this, but I have to give it to Nicole Anthony. Like right now, like she's probably overwhelmed, and in the end, like she received so much love from her initial season, literally being America's favorite, and it's only been a year for her. So it's probably like she's not really trying as hard, because it's like it hasn't been as long for her as some of the other ones. I mean, she literally was in there a year ago. Now, since we started in August and not in July, it has been exactly more than a year. As for some people, because of the length of days, it may not be that. But at least right now, from the episode, I have to give those two the dropouts for the week. All right, so we're going to go into a little bit of spoiler territory for after the episode, into the live feeds that happened starting at 2 o'clock a.m. Eastern time up until now. So if you want to remain spoiler-free and wait till the Sunday episode, please like and subscribe to this podcast. Tell your friends. Share it on social media. You can also follow our main account, sowrongforthat.com, both on Twitter, Facebook, and also Instagram, and just go to sowrongforthat and be able to follow us there, where we talk about more than just Big Brother, but we'll definitely be talking about a lot about Big Brother this season. So if you're wanting to leave out and be spoiler free, thank you so much for listening to us, and we'll see you next time. Otherwise, we'll talk about spoilers. All right, so we're going to get into this a little bit of spoilers as we set up our future podcast. What we'll be doing is doing quick live feed summaries daily for what happens throughout the previous day. So I want to give you a little bit of spoilers to set up what has been going on and what we'll probably actually see on the Sunday episode. We'll definitely have a full day of live feed spoilers tomorrow in our next podcast. But let's get into it real quick. Cody has been talking with a few people, and it seems that what he's doing is setting up pretty much the same plan that he had the last time, which was set up a group of people that will win competitions. He's using his social game to try and get in with everybody. But it definitely seems he's targeting people that he feels that he hasn't had a connection with before the game started. So there are people older people like Memphis, like K-Star Janelle, possibly Keisha, that he would probably, at least on his first mind, to consider targeting. Those plans may change thanks to the twist that they introduced in the episode last night, but we'll see what happens when he officially does nominations, which it will either be today or usually when they traditionally are on Friday. Even though I said Christmas, however, has probably been the one that's been doing the best socially. Like, I remember personally not liking Christmas at all. And I mean, yes, there are reasons to hate Paul and, well, almost everybody in BB19. And she had her fair share of moments where she got talked about, but because people, I guess, didn't really watch that season, and all they remember is Paul dominating and then losing again to Josh, she's able to recreate that narrative of her whole season and let her be looked as in a positive light while still doing the social connections connect with the players that are around her now. So I'll give her credit for that. I can't say that I'm personally cheering for Christmas yet, but I am liking what she's doing. Bailey's been doing the same thing. Definitely talking to people. Bailey has been interacting with people, talking about how happy she is now, relating to people that talk about the challenge, specifically with Cody, who we learned was contacted to be on the challenge when they first started getting Big Brother people, but obviously they chose Polly they went with Polly instead of him. He declined. But Bailey has been the one that's been probably almost as socially active as Christmas. Now, maybe to some people's eyes, Bailey's probably been a little bit too active, a little bit too talkative. But to be honest, if I were to pick people who are safe and who are not, Bailey and Avon are probably the safest people in the house right now. But we'll get into more of that tomorrow. All right, so there we have it, our first wrap-up of the first episode of Big Brother All-Stars 2. Again, I'm Michael B., and I thank you for listening to me ramble on about this season, and I plan to be with the whole season the whole way. I can't wait to see, once Cody makes his nominations, when that's probably when the game will really begin, and we'll definitely see all the scheming and all the old plans and the new plans all come together, and I can't wait for all of it. But until then, please subscribe to this podcast. Please follow us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at So Wrong For That. And we can't wait to see you till next time. Thank you so much.